Hey, podcast listeners, Michael Shelley here. Today's guest is Dave Thompson. It was a short, one of the kind of short interviews that I like, kind of light and breezy, just chatting about music and nominally about Joan Jett, who's getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So we start off talking about whether or not that's a good thing or not. That's one of my sort of pet peeves. I don't understand the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame entirely or really anything else on earth. Some good stuff coming up. Check out WFMU.org/Michael. I want to let you know that the WFMU fundraiser is coming up in about 5 weeks from now. It's our annual 2-week fundraiser, and I hope some podcast folks will take a minute to pledge their support. And I've got a new CD of original recordings recorded just for WFMU. It is volume 3 of Super Hits of the 70s, called Even More Super Hits of the 70s. Even More Super Hits of the 70s. And this week, I played a track off of it for a world premiere, and for the next few weeks I'll be playing one track each program, and they will all be world premieres because these are all songs unheard ever, and there's just a lot of amazing stuff on here. So if you want to hear those, check the archives over at WFMU.org/Michael, and I will be chatting about you with you about the fundraiser as the weeks get closer, so I hope I can count on you. Here is my interview with Dave Thompson. Thanks. I like that song. I think that song is a number one hit song. Joining us on the telephone, author of Bad Reputation, the unauthorized biography of Joan Jett, Dave Thompson. Dave, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
I mentioned earlier that your publisher, Backbeat Books, sort of solicited me because Joan Jett's going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Do you think Joan Jett, is that a big deal for her personally? Would you guess?
I don't know. I've always felt the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is something of an oxymoron.
I hate it. I mean, it's a disaster.
It should only be eligible to people who've driven lots of cars into swimming pools and taken way too many drugs.
Yeah. I mean, it is weird because you think, like, well, if, you know, John Cougar, then why not this guy? Or if this guy, you know, it doesn't quite seem that the rules, you know, how do you quantify rock and roll, you know?
Yeah. And with all that said, I'd say good for Joan, because if anyone deserves to be in there, let's assume it's a nice thing. If anyone deserves to be in there, it's her.
I think generally most people, except for the Sex Pistols and Kiss, are happy to be in, you know?
I think Ozzy made some grumbles, didn't he?
Did he show up, though?
I can't remember.
Yeah, me neither.
I try not to watch it.
Well, it's very rock and roll to hate authority.
Yes. And so the idea that there is this authority that says, thou art great, join us.
Yeah, and we're putting you in a museum. I mean, yeah.
I mean, what an honor.
Yeah. Yes, your career is over now, yeah.
Although most of these people are so old, they should be in museums.
Well, not Joan Jett, because she was so young when she started. And your book sort of tells these two stories, the stories of the band The Runaways, and then the story of Joan Jett's solo career and how she sort of built it from the ashes, really, from nothing, and had to sort of keep it going as hard music came in and out of favor, and her interesting sort of way that she kind of survived until this day. It's a very interesting story. One of the things about The Runaways that's so interesting is you sort of do a nice portrait of Los Angeles scene there in the mid-70s when she was a kid really kind of sneaking out of her house to go to clubs.
Which is what you should do, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hate children who stay at home and behave. Let's go to clubs and be wild.
Yes, and take drugs and, you know, do illicit things in bathrooms.
Yes, and step over dead bodies on the sidewalk.
Why do you think, I mean, you really paint a portrait here of a woman who is determined to do this. You know, nothing will stand in her way.
And, I mean, that, I think, is, of everything she's achieved, that is really the crowning glory, because, I mean, if you remember The Runaways from their time on Earth, there was no band more reviled and hated by the industry.
That's one thing I didn't know till I read the book. I mean, they were spit on, they were, you know, teased, they were treated so horribly by everybody, and just kind of, and they signed to a record label that really didn't know what to do with them and didn't do much with them.
I don't think many record labels at that time would have known what to do with them. It's like, you know, we look back on the mid-70s, well, punk was coming and there was Sire, you know, who was signing the Ramones and people, you know. But The Runaways were just so far beyond anything rock and roll had before. You know, it wasn't the first all-girl group, but it was the first all-girl group to actually sort of project themselves as, shall we say, very sexual beings in corsets. Apart from Joan, who wore a leather jacket.
Well, they were weird because they were, you know, slightly heavy metalish. So they didn't quite have like the Ramones straight punkishness, but they weren't a pop group like REO Speedwagon or a heavy metal band, really. So they were sort of in between all these other bands that were sort of popular at the time.
I mean, the first album, I think, was their best because it kicks off with Cherry Bomb, which is one of the great American punk records.
Hmm.
They do the Lou Reed cover, and there's what's it called? Dead End Justice at the end, which was just this insane sort of Alice Cooper, West Side Story, you know, theatrical piece on record, which it worked live, but you're sitting there listening to the record, and it's like, okay, what are they? It's great. It was just so ambitious and so larger than life, and the industry hated it.
What bands did she love that formed, you think? What are the bedrock? If you had to name a few bands that Joan Jett wouldn't exist if these bands hadn't existed.
Well, you played one of them at the top of the show, which was Arrows.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the British glam rock scene was incredibly important to her. And I think, yeah, everything she was hearing on the radio, because when you're 13, 14, 15, you're a sponge when it comes to music. So she was just absorbing all the stuff she was hearing on the radio, but then going to clubs in LA and hearing the British glam rock. And that was what I think, turned her into what she became.
It's kind of interesting because that British glam rock stuff wasn't huge here, and yet it was such a movement in, you know, it's sort of David Bowie and some things kind of mainstreamed to America, but most of it stayed over there. Bands like Slade or, you know, that just never happened here until, like, a different thing, you know?
That's right. I mean, Joey Ramone once told me he went into a record shop in New York to buy the first Gary Glitter record, and not only would they not sell it to him, they chased him out.
Of course, Kim Fowley just passed away. We had him on the show. What a character he was. And
yes.
He comes off, you know, the best thing you can sort of say is he was kind of a lovable scamp, maybe, you know? But he comes off as a guy who, almost for no reason other than to maintain his own power, turned the girls against each other, confused them, you know, yelled at them, screamed at them. I think that was kind of his idea of, I will just get a reaction from people, and that's what record producing is. It is getting emotion moving.
And I think there was also a degree of toughening up. There was very little he could have done that they would not be facing when they went out on the road.
Did they need that really from him? Was there a nicer way to have done that?
It's hard to say. I mean, I think we can all look at what he said and did and just like, that is so disgusting. He'd never get away with it today. But again, you know, he was really, you know, putting his, you know, everyone's head on the block. You know, five nubile schoolgirls on tour with the Blue Oyster Cult. It's like, he had to come up with some way just to toughen them up.
Yeah.
Because sitting them down on the couch and just saying, well, this is what's going to happen. They're going to be, nah, we can handle that.
Right, but his book, as you point out in the book, you know, he promised all their parents he would, you know, take care of them and have, but he didn't really send them out with anyone to take care of them, almost the opposite, you know, people to encourage them to take drugs. I mean, it was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, it turned into, you know, as I said, you know, nobody could get away with doing that today. It did turn out, I think, a lot nastier than probably even he expected it to. I mean, I have a lot of time for him simply because he was so wonderfully driven. It's like he knew what he wanted to do, and he did it no matter what got in the way.
To put it delicately, there's a scene where it's not quite clear. Does he sleep with some of the girls in the band?
It's not quite clear. He's sort of given that impression over the years, and you know, various other people have rumored it, but I think unless all five of them sat down and said yes or no, we're never going to know for sure.
Yeah, I guess so. It's interesting because it could be one of those things where he's lying to inflate his reputation as a debaucher. It could be the sort of opposite of what, you know, who knows, anything.
Yeah, but it's also one of, rock and roll thrives on legends.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if he'd sent them all out and said, you know, no one has ever slept with any of these girls, I mean, could you imagine the challenge that would have offered?
She's opening for The Who, I see, in their arena tour that's happening now. So she really is, you know, and she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She really is now somebody who's a mainstream known, you know, lady of rock and roll.
Yeah, I mean, she's just kept on going, and she has never really done what people have told her to. You know, she's always been just that one step outside of the mainstream.
But, you know, she did sort of take a break where there was about an 8 or 10 year period where she didn't make a new record, but she has consistently churned out records, written great sort of songs that are on that sort of pop but loud, aggressive pop edge that I like so much. And, you know, she's had a lot of different guys come through her band, and she kind of kicks them into shape, and, you know, she just keeps going forward. And it's, you know, through different record companies and different music business trends, and, you know, it really is an interesting story.
I mean, the only part I thought where maybe she went off the rails was when she was working with Desmond Child.
Well,
but of course, you could say, well, everybody went off the rails when they worked with Desmond Child.
I guess she wanted to hit. But she co-wrote with a lot of different people, including Desmond Child. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that I was never a fan of pretty much anything he ever did. So it's like, oh, Joan's working with Desmond Child. Oh, good.
Well, I don't remember what songs they co-wrote together. If there's any good ones even in the bunch, I'll have to go.
No,
there aren't. Huh? Has he ever co-written a good song with anybody? I mean,
I wouldn't say so.
Even bands like Cheap Trick, you know, ended up going with weird co-writers and stuff.
Yeah.
At some point. Yeah. That's the music
business. I think, you know, it was the '80s. You had to.
Yeah, you had to. Well, when you write you've written, I'd say, is it possible, hundreds of books? You're a very prolific writer.
I am, aren't I?
Yeah.
I once read a review that doubted I existed. It thought I was a committee.
It's possible. When you write you have a good subject, and you're writing about her, so there's bound to be a lot of, it's bound to be an interesting book because Joan is interesting. But when you write an unauthorized biography, do you ever hear from the Joan Jett people? They're happy, they're not happy?
I've not heard anything, so I'd imagine they weren't unhappy. I mean, I try with books. It's like you want to tell the truth. You don't want to get into, and just start slinging mud. I mean, I know that, that can be popular, and a lot of authors do it, but I've always felt my job is boringly as a historian and a chronicler as opposed to a publicist.
Sure. Put things into perspective and just lay the facts out. And
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Because you can, go into these books and you can just come up with the most amazing legends and just repeat all the rumors. But basically, that's just sort of an insane press release.
Yeah, well, we don't want that.
yeah, we do.
So
my next book's about you. See what I've written.
That will be boring. although I could sue you, perhaps. Now we're talking.
That could be fun. That could be the last chapter.
Dave Thompson is our guest this morning. He's the author of Bad Reputation, the unauthorized biography of Joan Jett, and she hasn't sued him. And Dave's website is over at DaveThompsonBooks.wordpress.com, and there's all kinds of the number of books and articles and pieces for Rolling Stone and fiction and nonfiction and all. It's all up there. You're a busy guy.
Yeah, and it's not even up to date. I keep thinking I need to update that thing. I keep forgetting.
What's next for you?
Next is a book about ghosts.
Of course.
Because ghosts are so cool.
Okay, if you say so.
Yes, it's sort of it's my un-rock and roll book.
You need a ghostwriter, perhaps, for this.
Aha!
All right, we're going to hear the title song of your book, Bad Reputation, by Joan Jett. Well, congratulations to her for getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And Dave Thompson, thanks for spending a minute with us this morning.
Thanks very much.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
I'm not afraid to die.
That's rock and roll right there. Joan Jett, and don't forget, Dave Thompson can be reached over at davethompsonbooks.wordpress.com. And thanks to him for joining us for a minute this morning to talk about one of my favorites, Joan Jett. All right, folks, you're tuned here to WFMU.
WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org.
I was pressing the button and nothing was happening. Maybe. It was the great Hal Blaine.
And now, Michael Shelley with more hits.
The great Hal Blaine's birthday this week. Here's a song written by the Adresi Brothers. Featuring, it's got to be Hal Blaine on drums.